Okay, we're going to get started. Welcome, everybody. We'll start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everybody who has come tonight, who is here. Please be with Ryan and myself as we speak tonight. Send your Holy Spirit so that we will teach your truth to everyone here. We will open our mouths only to say the words that you put in our hearts, Lord, to teach them what you want them to hear. Please help everyone here to have an open heart, open mind, and some good discussion. And just be with everybody and bless their families and bless their process as they come to know you better. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. In the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so tonight we're going to talk about, last time we talked about the sacraments of initiation, which are baptism, reconciliation, and confirmation. No, sorry. Baptism, Holy Eucharist, and confirmation. I'm really going to the seminar, right? And then tonight, Ryan is going to talk about the sacraments of initiation. Ryan is going to talk about the sacraments of healing. And then I am going to talk about marriage afterwards. And then we have one more sacrament next time we meet. But for now, I'm going to turn over to Ryan to talk about reconciliation. Just as a quick note, sorry. I do have the sheet in the back for if I don't know your sponsor or your saint, and you know them, you can write them on there, or if you need help, write them on there. I know I've fallen a little behind with finding sponsors for people, but I'm happy to find you somebody, and don't let that scare you or intimidate you, or finding a saint. You know, don't think, I'm going to find the wrong saint, because everybody in heaven wants to help you get to heaven. Like, they're not going to turn you away because they don't like you for some reason. But they love you, they're your brothers and sisters in heaven, and they want to help you. So you can't pick a wrong one. You might have more than one eventually, but you need at least one. So be thinking about that if you don't know already. Okay?
I've got the other one.
Yeah.
I need to turn yours on.
I did.
Okay.
Let's see. I need to hold it closer. Is it working? No. Maybe this one needs to be turned down now.
Okay.
It's like super loud.
Which one is it?
Yeah, I think it's the second one. Okay. Now can you hear me? Okay. All right. Welcome. We're going to talk about the sacraments of healing. So I'm going to start with confession, reconciliation, and then we're going to go, and I'll touch briefly on the anointing of the sick. My goal is to show you through scripture where the sacrament comes from. And then Aiden and I are going to do a little practice mock confession so you can see what it looks like in person. And then, depending on time, you have something here?
Oh, my keys. My keys are there.
Oh. And then depending on time, we're going to open up the confessional. If we don't have time to do it during class time, it'll be open during food time. And I'll be waiting over there, and you can come into the confessional, take a tour, ask any questions that you have.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it's good to see. Okay, so we're going to start with scripture. I have a couple scripture verses that I'm going to read, but I'm going to first just talk about the Old Testament and Leviticus. So in Leviticus, the Israelites needed to go to the priest, the Levites, in order to confess their sins, and then they had to, the priest would prescribe to them what type of animal that they would use for a sacrifice. So if they would come with a dove, he would say, well, maybe you need to come back with a goat. Or if it was a goat that they would bring, he'd be like, maybe you need to come back with a bull. And the priest would offer the sacrifice. And he would offer it for their atonement, for their sins. And then on the Day of Atonement, which is Yom Kippur, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies one time per year, and he would offer the sacrifice for himself, for all the priests, and for all of the Israelite people. So in the Old Testament, we can see that you need to confess your sins to a priest at the temple, and there needs to be a sacrifice, okay? Jesus comes in the New Testament not to abolish the old law, but to fulfill the law. So he's going to do it in a different way. And it's going to start, I'm going to read Mark. So Mark 2, 1 through 12. And the story is about Jesus when he heals a paralytic. So, and when he returned to Capernaum, after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like this? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they questioned like this within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question like this in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, take up your pallet, and go home." And he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So there's a lot of things happening in this scripture verse passage. But some things I want to point out is, to the people, the most important thing that they saw was that he healed the paralytic, and he was able to walk and pick up his mat and go. Now, the priests and the scribes, they were not angry at that part. They were angry because he claimed to forgive his sins. So he does a physical healing, but first he does a spiritual healing. He saves the man's soul. To Jesus, that's the most important part. He doesn't care about his paralytic or his paralysis. Everyone is going to die a physical death. Jesus saved him from mortal death, right? He saved him for forever, which is the most important part. And they called him, it's interesting because sometimes if you read about people that Jesus doesn't claim to be God, he doesn't say, "I am God." Well, right here, he shows his actions speak louder than words, because they said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And he did forgive the man's sins. So therefore, he is God. Okay, so this is while Jesus is alive, right? And Jesus has the ability to forgive people's sins. So next we're going to go to John. And this is a resurrection appearance. So Jesus has already died, and he's resurrected, and he's going to visit the apostles. So on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the door is being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So, I grew up as a Protestant, and I grew up not believing in confession. I asked my dad this question just a few days ago about what do they believe about confession? Why do they not confess their sins to a priest? He asked me, "Why do I confess my sins to a priest?" We just kind of went around for a while. And then he said, "I can just go to Jesus alone. I don't need to go to a priest." And I said, "Well, that's interesting, because Jesus doesn't say, 'Just come directly to me.' He gives the authority to his apostles to forgive sins. And he does this right after he is resurrected. So he's planning to like send them out on mission, right? He's giving this authority. And if you think like, well, sure, he gave that authority to the apostles have way greater authority than anybody else. But, like, logically, think about that. That doesn't really make sense. If he's only going to give the apostles this one special authority to forgive people's sins while they're alive, and then after the death of the last apostle, nobody else is going to have this ability, That just doesn't, that's not very smart. That's not a good business plan. And I think Jesus is a pretty smart person. So he's giving them this authority that they're going to pass on, right? Apostolic succession, which they give to the bishops. And therefore, people that are alive after the apostles can also have their sins forgiven. So we'll move to the next scripture verse, which is in James. Now this is during the lifetime of the apostles, but it's also the lifetime of the early church. It also talks a little bit about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. So in James, he says, is any one among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. So, if we break this down a little bit, because I said there's two sacraments happening here, one key word is, let him call for the elders. So this word in Greek is actually presbyteroi, which becomes presbyter, which is where like the Presbyterian church comes from. That word means priest, okay? So if we read it again, it says, let him call for the priest of the church. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he would say in Greek. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So that's the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, but it also goes into, let them then therefore confess their sins to one another. Now, when Jesus gave the apostles the ability to forgive sins, the only way that they can forgive the sins of people is if the people tell them their sins.
Yeah.
Right? They have to confess their sins to that person, to the priest, or to the apostle. And then he says, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effect. So in the institution of the priesthood, their job was to install churches in the early church. They're going to travel around all of the known world at that time, and they're going to install righteous people to be in charge of the churches, which we call bishops. Okay, so that's confession in the Bible. Is there any questions about that part on Scripture? Yes, go ahead.
I have a question, probably not related, but do you have to confess all your sins before you're baptized, or does the baptism wash away all those sins?
Okay, great question.
I'll look for extra seats.
Yeah, there's some up here.
Here too.
There's two up here too. So I'll restate the question just right at the end. So his question was, do you need to confess your sins before baptism? Or does baptism wash away all of your sins? And the answer is no, you do not even need to go to confession before you're baptized. Okay? Baptism will 100% wipe away all of your sins. After you are baptized, you are still going to sin, and then you will need to go to confession. Okay? Yes?
What if, let's say you're going to get baptized in another year, and you're thinking, gosh, I sure wish I could go to confession because I feel bad now that I've learned these things, I did these sins, and I just feel bad about it. Is there anything one can do in the meantime until you get baptized? Because I know afterwards, then you can't go to confession.
Yeah, so her question was, what happens if, like right now, you guys are preparing for baptism, and you have sin? And so, therefore, could you go to confession before your baptism? And
Well, not that.
Okay.
It's like, what do you do in the meantime?
Yeah.
Is there anything one can do? Or, you know, just do prayers, go before the Eucharist and adoration, or
all of that you can do, yes. But you have to be Catholic in order to receive the sacrament.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And so you sit there and hold it.
Yeah.
You know that whole time feeling really bad over, you know, gosh, over the last 60 years, you know, all these bad things I did. And so that's why I was just wondering.
Yes. Yeah. I would say in that case, you should schedule a meeting with Father Tilly or with a priest and talk with them about it. Because there is guidance that they can give you without giving you absolution.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
You wouldn't have the full sacrament because
no,
you need to go
no,
in the
court, yeah.
But you can still meet with them and have like a counseling session.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
So I had that same question to my sponsor who's just down the road at another parish. He showed me catechumen, I guess it's paragraph 1259, where it says the catechumens who died before their baptism were assured salvation through their explicit desire for sacrament, repentance, and charity. It's known as the baptism of desire, which has a substitute for the water.
Yeah.
So in her case and a lot of ours,
yeah.
You're the catechumen, you have that desire, you're waiting that year. If it did happen, it's as though it already happened.
Yes,
is
that's
that
right.
Correct?
Yep, that's right. And there's a story that I can tell you about a Christian singer. I don't know, some of you might be younger than me, but if you can remember Rich Mullins, raise your hand. I got one. We got one, Miss Kira. So, yeah, I grew up Protestant, and Rich Mullins was really popular where I was from. I actually got to see him in concert. And he I don't know if you know the story, Kira, but he was in RCIA, back then it was called RCIA, and he was going to become baptized, and, well, I think he was probably already baptized, but he was going to become confirmed and have all the sacraments at Easter, but he died in a car crash like 3 days before Easter, and he didn't become Catholic. But to your point, he still had the desire to receive the sacraments. So yes, there you are covered in that like temporal where you're at right now. Yeah. Okay, any other questions on that before I move on? No? Okay, I'm just gonna give you some practical advice, and then we're gonna go through our mock confession. So this book here, if you all picked one up, this is a really, really good book to have and to walk through how to go to confession, how to prepare for confession. But you're probably never gonna remember to take this with you. They keep them there? Okay. But when you're preparing, you're probably always going to have this on you, right? I know I do. So my number one recommendation is to download the Relevant Radio app. It's free. And it has some really, really good preparations and prayers. It does the examination of conscience based on the Ten Commandments. If you go with a child, my daughter uses it because it has one for children. It has one for single people, for married people. And it's just really, really good. I really like the prayers before the confessional. While you're waiting in line, you can just pull out your phone, read some of the prayers, prepare yourself. Hopefully you've already done the examination of conscience, which, does anybody not know what that is? Okay. So, like I said, if you picked one of these up here in the back, it does have the examination of conscience. There's a whole bunch of them that you can find. Probably the most common one is based off of the Ten Commandments. So it'll go through each commandment, and it'll break down like maybe 5 or 6 different ways to think about that commandment. Because you probably haven't killed anyone in the last week, right? But that's like, it'll break it down of like other ways that you can think about how that commandment will relate to your life. So it's really good. And it gets pretty deep. You have to really examine your life. And you can do this at any time. You don't have to do this always just before you're going to confession. I know priests that recommend you do an examination of conscience every single night before you go to bed. It's a really good practice to get into. And then it also has the act of contrition, which is also in your purple book, which is what you'll say when you're in the confessional. Again, this is something that you do not have to pray while you're in the confessional. It's a really good way to just get in the habit of being sorry for your sins and trying to repair your life. The word repentance means to turn around. It's like a 180-degree turn. So when you think of the sacrament of repentance, you really are trying to fix your life. Okay? All right, I'm going to run through a couple common questions that most of you will probably have. And feel free to add to any of these questions. But number one is, what happens if I keep going back to the confessional and I keep just repeating the same sins? Scott Hahn has a really good quote for this. The priest told him, he's like, well, do you want new sins? He's like, so this will happen. Like, if you struggle with anger, you have road rage, that's not going to just go away because you went to the confessional one time, right? You're going to go back out, and you're going to have road rage because somebody's going to cut you off, or there's a really slow driver in the left lane, and you're like, what are you doing? Get over it. So that'll happen, right? But what I think is really good about the confessional is it's a sacrament of healing. And when you go there, you're trying to fix your life. So the more you go, the more it like brings to your mind, like, I have an issue with anger. And when I was a Protestant, and I could just go directly to Jesus, I never went directly to Jesus. I never thought about it. I never did an examination of conscience. I just sinned and just kept on sinning and just never thought about it. I was a good person for the most part. And just like that was how I lived my life. But now that I go back to the confessional and I keep going back to the confessional and I'm like, man, that's like the fourth time that I've said that same sin. I need to probably work on that and cut it out of my life and do something different. I need to change. I need to repent. I need to turn around. So you will have the same sins, but you will also stop committing some of those sins, hopefully. Okay, next one is, how often should you go? The requirement is once a year. Scott Hahn also says, like, if you were to take a shower once a year, would you have a lot of friends? Probably not. So the more you shower, the more clean you are. And that's your, like, physical health. But we know that Jesus not only cares about our physical health, he wants to heal our soul, our internal health. So the more you go, the cleaner you're going to become, and the healthier you're going to be. You're going to be a better person because you're going to keep going back and fixing yourself. All right. Do you have to confess every sin? One of my favorite priests is Father Donald Calloway, and he has a really good quote for this one, or a story, where he says, think of yourself as a child. We are a child of God, right? And you pooped your pants. And you're a child of God, and you've got a dirty diaper, and you're like, Mom, I only want you to clean some of this diaper. Just leave some of it. I don't want to talk about that part. Just leave some of that part there. No one would ever say that. You got to go and clean everything. You want it totally wiped clean. You can only get wiped clean if you tell it. Less disgusting one would be like if you go to a doctor and you're sick and you tell the doctor some of the symptoms that you're feeling. Well, he can only prescribe medicine for those areas that you've told him about. If you don't tell him all of the issues that you're having, he can't diagnose it correctly. Same with the priest. Okay, last one is, will the priest tell? This is the big one. This is the seal of the confession and the sacrament. And if a priest were to ever say what happens in a confessional, he is excommunicated and loses his right to be a priest. So this is very serious. You might have heard, like, California has tried to make it so that they have to be able to tell. You know, no priest is going to go along with that, even if they pass the law. But our laws are different. They're divinely instituted. They're not made by a government. Okay, so even if they pass the law, the priest doesn't have to follow that law. And they would never know. Now, if they were going in and, like, trying to trick the priest, well, I would feel sorry on Judgment Day for that person. Any questions that you have? Yes.
What if you can't remember everything? Like, let's say we try to do it like quarterly, and oh my gosh, the people who are going once a year.
Yeah.
How do you remember? Because obviously we're gonna all try.
Yeah.
To live by Christ's example, but we're gonna fail very frequently.
Yes.
How do you remember?
Yeah. Good. So her question is, how do you remember your sins? Because maybe the frequency of when you can go, you're going to commit sins that you won't remember. There's a couple things you can do. One is you can write them down. You can keep a journal. You can keep it in code. Write it in hieroglyphics, you know, so nobody else understands what you're writing down. But you can put it into your phone and put it into a note. There is one, like, I don't use it anymore, but there is a confessional app that you used to be able to put in their notes that you could keep track of, and it would, like, tell you when your last confession was. You can mark it. So there are apps that can help with it, too. That's one way to do it. Another way is, like, when you're in the confessional, I've heard advice of always start with your biggest sins. You want to, like, sometimes you want to say, like, I want to say some little sins first, and I want to say the big one, and then I'm going to say some more little ones. They don't really care. They're not going to remember. Okay? So start with the big ones and get them out of the way first, and then work your way through the other things that you're doing. And if you can't remember, a good practice from St. Faustina is you say, at the end of your confession, you say, for these and all the sins that I've committed, I ask for forgiveness. I love thinking of that because, now, you need to not rely on that to, like, I'm not going to say this sin because I don't want to talk about it. Scott Hahn has a good one with the priest. The priest told him, he's like, there's nothing that we haven't heard before. There was only one original sin, and that was committed by Adam and Eve. So he says, you know, say everything. But if you can't remember one little thing, you can use that prayer to make sure that you're covered. Any other questions? Yes.
Is there a time, like, that if you haven't gone to confession or weren't able to, like, that you should take the Eucharist? Or is there one of those instances where, like, you're probably like, oh, I shouldn't go up and do this time, that you should take it? Is that, like, a practice? Because I've been told that you should always go to confession for the Eucharist, but is that possible?
Yeah, great question. So he asked, do you need to always go to confession before you go to the Eucharist? The answer is no, but also with a caveat. So if you've committed a mortal sin, then yes, you need to go to confession before you go to have Mass, to have the Eucharist. At any Mass, you can always go up and just receive a blessing. There is no requirement that you have to have the Eucharist at every single Mass because you're Catholic, okay? It's more damaging to your soul to take the Eucharist than to go up and receive a blessing. Okay, even if you're questioning it, always go to confession first. For venial sins, which I didn't really touch on mortal sins and venial sins, but venial sins are lesser sins than mortal sins. Those are actually covered during the Mass. So we say the Confiteor during the Mass. That is a form of public declaration of sins, and it is a confession. And also the Eucharist will heal you during that process. You're uniting yourself with God, okay? But you're also uniting yourself with God, and you want to have a clean house for Him to enter, and that helps by going to confession. It's a good practice to go to confession as much as you can, but if you look at the lines for communion and you look at the lines for the confessional, this one's a little bit longer, right?
It's an example of a mortal sin.
Mortal sin would be like the seven deadly sins. So greed, lust, gluttony, pride, those types of things. Okay. Good question. I always say, play it safe. If you're not sure, if you don't feel good, just go for a blessing and go to confession as soon as you can. Okay. Other questions? All right. I think we're ready. Yeah. So we're gonna have Aiden come up. You can just. And we're going to do a mock confession. Okay, so he's going to enter the confessional. Now, I will say the confessional should have a screen, and then sometimes it has a chair where you can sit face to face with the priest. It's your personal preference, whatever you choose to do. Sometimes I feel more comfortable sitting face to face with the priest. Sometimes I don't want to see the priest, so I'll sit over there. It just depends. So that's your choice. Okay, so. What? These are fake sins, by the way. He's not actually. Okay.
Just to clarify.
I would walk in, like if you're waiting in line, so you would come out, you walk in, and you can, like at this confessional, you kneel down, or like you said, you go sit in the chair. And it starts in the name of the Father, just like everything liturgically here. So, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. And I would say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been about a month since my last confession. I've lied and told half-truths to get out of uncomfortable situations. I've been sluggish and procrastinated my parental duties. I presumed God's mercy. I've talked about people behind their back and called it venting when it was really gossip. For these sins and all my sins, I am sorry.
Okay, so you can go to confession just like that. You just one right after the other. You don't need to give a story. My wife was, you're there to confess your sins, not their sins. And you can also be very brief. Like, if it's a Saturday, there's not a lot of time that we have before Mass, and there's usually a long line. So be respectful, because other people that are there are also wanting to get their sins forgiven. If it's a shorter line, or if you have more time, I love to ask the priest for advice. So if I am quick to anger with my children, how can I work on this? What can I do? Or I've gossiped about my coworkers. How can I avoid gossiping about them? Or what is it, gossip, or am I just talking about them? Like, there's, you know, the priests are great with, when I've asked for advice, I've had really, really good advice from priests. If you don't ask for advice, they're probably not going to just give it to you, because they know that there's a long line, and they know that they have to get through a lot of sins. A lot of people. So after he gives me his sins, the priest would then give him a penance, and then he would ask him to say the act of contrition. He would go into the act of contrition, and then the priest would absolve him of his sins, and then he would leave the confessional, and then he would go out and he would do his penance. It's a good idea, to a good practice, to do your penance right away. And it's going to be something small. It's not going to be like, you know, a huge thing that you have to do. You're not going to have to pray usually the whole rosary. He's going to say three Hail Marys and one Our Father, or something like that. It'll be pretty small. So you can easily go and do it within 5 minutes in the church. And I always like to do it in the church, because you're there with Jesus. And if you go to your car, someone's going to call you, and you're going to check the score on the football game. You know, you're going to think about work, and then you're going to be like, wait, what was my penance? I totally forget how many Hail Marys I was supposed to do. So just do it right away and get it out. Questions on how to go to confession? Yes?
Don't you need to identify the number of times of the particular sin?
Like, yeah, you can.
Five times?
Or... Yes, yeah. You can do it, like, for his, he didn't really have ones that he had to number, but you can number and kind. So he did kind, not technically number, because these were pretty big. They weren't like, I mean, they were mock sins too. So, but yes, you should number and kind them. So if at all possible, you can think of how many times you committed this sin. So to your point, if it's been 3 months since your last confession, how many times were you angry with your wife? Things like that. Yeah. Yes.
The act of contrition, it was in the book. Do we have like an index card?
Because
I'm not
going to
remember that.
Yeah, so we'll take you into the confessional. Usually they have them like taped to the kneeler, and you can have them there. They have the books that you can look through.
Okay.
Like I said, if you download the Relevant Radio app, they're on there too. I don't recommend taking your phone into the confessional or leaving your phone on, because they're always listening. So, yeah.
So they're, which one do you do, all nine?
No. Okay, good question. Yes, you have to do all nine acts of, you just choose one. And pick one that you think means something to you. I would read through all nine, or however many there are in the book, and find one that you like. You do not have to memorize it, so, yeah, you can just pick one. Yes?
I don't know if you said this earlier, but how often do they have confessions?
Yeah, great question. So, how often do they have confessions? Here we have it on Wednesday nights, and we have it Saturdays before the 5 o'clock Mass on Saturday. You can schedule time to go to confession if you need to, and you do not have to go to confession just at this church. So like this weekend, I'm going to Jackson Hole to go snowboarding, and I already looked up when I can go to confession, because I love going to confession when I'm never going to see that priest again. If you're traveling, like you're overseas, I went to Rome last summer, and I went to confession in one of the huge churches, Santa Maria Maggiore, with a Polish priest. I don't even know his name. Never going to see him again. Perfect opportunity to go to confession, right? But you can go anywhere here, too. Any priest can give you a confession. You can have confession on an airplane. You can have confession at the grocery store. I had one priest that actually ran St. Joseph the Worker a while ago, and the times that they had listed were always incorrect. I would show up, and they were there was no priest.
Oh my
God. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
So I was at the little Catholic bookstore over here, and that priest was in there. I was like, your confessions are never when they're supposed to be. He's like, you want to do it right now in my car? I was like, let's go. So you can go to confession. Yeah, as long as it's a priest, you're good.
How do you know he forgave your sins if he speaks Polish?
He spoke perfect English. Okay. Yeah. He asked, how do I know he forgave my sins if he speaks Polish? I have gone to confession in Spanish. I speak Spanish, but it was still a struggle for me to get. I've never done confession in Spanish, so I was like asking my sister-in-law, like, how do I say this? And I'm like, I really don't want to tell you, but I really need to tell the priest. So, yeah.
So you hear like kind of jokes about, you know, like penances being like, oh, just say three Hail Marys and you're okay.
Yeah.
Is it always like just prayers or are there other things you do?
Yeah, great question. So she asked, for the penance, is it usually always just a three Hail Marys or one Our Father, or are there other things that you can do? I've had, like I said, sometimes I ask for advice, and when it was with gossip, the priest gave me a really cool penance once where he said, go and pray for that person or for the people that you have harmed. And I thought that was a really good way, instead of just doing a Hail Mary or an Our Father, it was a way for me to like, wow, yeah, I need to repair the relationship that I broke or the harm that I've caused to that person. And that's always a good practice, you know, Matt, because sin is breaking the relationship with God, but you're always hurting someone else in the process too. Even the people you're cutting off in traffic that can't hear you. Right? Josh.
I've also had some priest give me a penance to do something kind for each person in my family.
Perfect. So. Yeah.
And I have had a full rosary assigned for me.
Oh, well, I don't know what you did. 7 minutes? Okay. Yeah.
One time, sorry, real quick. I had to fast on bread and water for 24 hours.
Oh, cool.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Yeah, actually, so in like medieval times, they would, you know, there was a lot of wars, and they would assign pilgrimages as their penance. So, like long pilgrimages. Okay, I'm going to run out of time.
Real quick question.
Yeah.
Can you Zoom confession?
I don't think so.
No.
I've never heard of that, but yeah.
I know that was a question during
COVID.
Yeah.
Well, Father Tilly did like confessionals in his Jeep, so you can do drive-through confessionals. But, not easy. Okay, we're going to run out of time, but I have one video from Father Mike Schmitz that covers a lot of this, and it's coming from him, and you'll probably cry because he's awesome. But I hope it'll play. Please play. Please play. Please play. Come on. No. I might have to start it at the next class.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to work. Okay. And I can't copy what he's going to say because he's awesome. I'll try to find it. Maybe on your computer. We can do it. Oh, yes.
Years ago, I was riding in an airport shuttle with a number of elderly gentlemen and elderly ladies, and they could tell I was a priest because of what I was wearing, and they started asking me all of these questions. One of the questions they asked was, well, do you do all the priest things? And I'm like, well, yeah, I think so. And they said, like, even like hearing confessions? And I said, absolutely, all the time. And this one woman just kind of gasped a little bit. She said, oh, that would just be the worst. She said, it would make me so sad to hear about people's sins all day. And I told her that it was exactly the opposite of that. That my experience of being the priest in confession has revealed to me that confession is one of the most joyful, humbling, and inspiring places in the world. Because if you could see what I see in confession, you would realize this. First, what I get to see in every confession is I get to see the costly mercy of God in action. There are so many people who go through their entire lives and they've never encountered the reality of God's love that he gave to us through the cross. But in confession, I see people who are discouraged, who are lifted up. I see people who are wounded, who are healed. I see people who are lost, who are found. And I get to see that every single day. And the second thing I get to see in confession is I get to see people who are trying. You know, whenever someone walks through that confessional door, I don't care if this was their third confession this week, I see someone who has not given up. And it is so encouraging. It is so inspiring. It's not a place of discouragement. It's not a place of failure. You know, sin is the place of failure. But going into confession and saying, I'm not going to give up on the God who won't give up on me, that's a place of victory. And again, I get to see that every day. I know there's things that people are afraid of, though. You know, I've heard the questions, Father, do you remember what people say in confession? And the short answer is basically no. Why? Well, I think for most people, we think sins are fascinating. We think that sins are the things that you might dream about or just you kind of fantasize about. But the truth is, you as a human being, you are fascinating. You as a human being, you are part of God's masterpiece. Sins are not part of God's masterpiece. Sins are boring, right? They're all the same. Sins are basically garbage. And if sins are garbage, then priests are basically God's garbage men. Now, when was the last time you ever saw a garbage man going through the garbage and pulling out garbage as if it was fascinating to him? It's not fascinating because he realizes, no, this is just garbage. When someone comes to confession, I don't remember the garbage. I remember the power of God. I remember the God who loves them. I remember the person who didn't give up. That's what I see. And truthfully, the third thing I see is my own soul, my own heart. I can't tell you how often I am absolutely humbled when I hear someone come to confession and they recognize something in their life that I have never recognized in mine, but it's there. And it's just really amazing and, as I said, humbling examination of conscience because it reveals my heart. It reveals the heart of a priest. When I first got ordained, the next day, my family kind of threw a little party for me at my parents' place. My dad got up in the midst of all family and friends, and he had been a surgeon for his whole life, and he gave a little speech. He said, as a doctor with these hands, I have saved lives, and I have healed bodies. And then he said, but my son, Father Michael, with his hands, he will save lives. And with his hands, he won't heal bodies, he will heal souls. And then he said, I believe my son will save more lives than I ever have. In confession, the only thing the priest offers is that real love of God, is the real mercy of God. In fact, that's whenever someone comes to confession, that's all I have to give. The life-changing and life-resurrecting power of Jesus. And that's why it reveals the priest's heart. Because all he can give there, all he has to offer there, is mercy. Years and years ago, long before I went into seminary, I went to confession for the first time in a long time. And this was after a lot of life spent away from God and a lot of life spent away from reconciliation. And I laid it all out and I just kind of dumped out all the sins. And at the end of it, the priest gave me my penance, right? What I'm supposed to do now. And he said, I just want you to pray one Hail Mary. I thought, Father, did you hear everything I said? And he said, no, I heard it all. And he paused and then he said, but I want you to know that I'll be fasting for you for the next 30 days. I was just blown away. He was like, no, you're the sinner. Jesus, he is the one who paid the price. I just want you to pray one prayer. But he saw himself, he realized, he knew the truth, that as the priest, He's supposed to join his sufferings, his pain, his penances to Jesus' on the cross. In fact, the Catechism teaches that, that every priest who hears confessions must do penance for those who come to him. Why? Because again, confession reveals the priest's heart. And it reveals to me, it reveals whether I'm the kind of priest who's willing to offer up my wounds and my sufferings with the wounds and the saving sufferings of Jesus. And this is one of the reasons why, these are a bunch of the reasons why confession is one of the most joyful and humbling and inspiring places on the face of the earth. And why I'm so grateful to the Lord that he has called me to be a priest so I can be part of the sacrament. Because this is where God wins his children back. You know, confession is a place of victory. Confession is a place of victory. I don't care whether this is a person's first time they've ever confessed this particular sin or their 12,001st times they've confessed this particular sin. Every time they go to confession, it is a win for Jesus. And as a priest, I get to sit there. I get to be a part of, I get to watch, I get to see God winning his children back every single day.
Another good resource is if you are in